Well, the mics are back on, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. Thank you very much. And, you know, we interview a lot of different people on Radio Entrepreneurs, and I feel like I'm sitting, I could be on either side of this interview, because the person on the other side is one of the bigger business publishers that we could have on the show, and that's Brad Kane, editor, Worcester Business Journal. Welcome, Brad.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you. First, tell our listeners about the Worcester Business Journal, because if they're not getting it, it really is the business paper in that region.
Absolutely. We cover all of central Massachusetts. The website's wbjournal.com. We have a lot of great breaking news on there. Obviously, it's a business journal. We cover business-to-business news almost exclusively. So our target audience tends to be business owners and entrepreneurs, obviously, who listen and appear on the show, government regulators, the C-suite executive, CEO, CFO, that kind of thing. You know, a lot of people that make either spending or hiring decisions in their company. Our mission, not that we have a mission, but, you know, our goal with the information that we provide, the market intelligence we provide, is to help our readers run their businesses better.
Very good. I used to have a column with the Boston Business Journal for many years. I always appreciated writing that article. But you know what? Can you give some of our listeners the history of the paper?
So Worcester Business Journal was founded in, it was kind of a spinoff, I would say a sister publication of Worcester Magazine back in 1984. First issue ever, which is the cover is still hanging in my office, was our Business Leader of the Year award, making it thus our oldest award. It has evolved over time. Obviously, it was a magazine. Now, then it kind of turned into a biweekly tabloid. Now we're sort of migrating back to the magazine with obviously the breaking news website. About 10 years ago, one of the head salespeople, Peter Stanton, and his business partner, Joe Zweibel, bought Worcester Business Journal and a few other publications. And they've been running it ever since, about the last 10 years or so.
You know, in a world of diminishing publishers, you're thriving and surviving?
Yeah, no, it's great. So having a very specialized niche audience, you know, I think we're insulated a little bit from what's impacting the daily newspaper industry. We have a very passionate audience, you know, people that will pay for the content online and in print, obviously. You know, our advertisers know that they're reaching people that, powerful people that have a lot of money to spend within their companies. So I think we can hang on to advertising a little bit better than, again, probably the daily papers. Another thing, too, when I was at a conference 2 years ago with our Circulation Verification Council, and they were saying, you know, they have like 30 different categories of publications they certify circulation for, and only of those 30, 28 are actually growing in circulation. The only two that are dropping are daily newspapers and then weekly newsprint magazines like
Time.
Yeah,
daily newspapers. It's a killer. So much online.
So everyone sort of has this narrative that print's really dying. That's not true. It's just the two highest profile ones are losing subscribers. But, you know, our number of readers of our print issues up almost 20%, I think, in the last 5 years.
Well, that's the name of the game. You got to keep your eyes on the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's pretend I'm your first cousin, and
okay.
I'm moving my business to Central Mass from Eastern Mass, and you don't want me to go out of business. What kind of advice would you be giving me to understand the marketplace and the trends in the marketplace?
From Eastern to Central?
To Central. That's what, sorry, if I didn't say that, I apologize. That's what I meant.
I think that's what you said. Maybe I had my lines reversed. So, you know, I think the big thing that everyone will tell you in Central Massachusetts is sort of the affordable option compared to Eastern. You know, real estate's going to be a little bit lower. You can probably buy a little bit bigger space. A big trend that's been pushed by, like, the Massachusetts Biotechnology Council is that, you know, if you develop a great idea at an incubator in Kendall Square, but you need to manufacture, you need a lot of space to manufacture, you're going to want to get that space out in the Worcester area because, you know, you can get a lot cheaper. Generally, your employees' money will go a lot farther in Central Mass. You can buy, they can buy houses, and cost of living tends to be a little bit cheaper than particularly Boston proper, but, you know, even in Eastern Massachusetts. And I think just kind of everywhere, you know, Central Massachusetts, if you want to operate in the market, you just kind of know the players and figure out where your niche is.
And do you find the mix of business to be a little bit different in Central Mass?
Yeah. Well, for the most part, I mean, obviously, it's still a bit of a eds and meds economy. Our biggest industry by number of employees is healthcare. And then there's 13 colleges and universities in our coverage area. By GDP, by economic output, manufacturing is still our largest industry by almost double, I think, the next highest, which is healthcare, which I think is fairly even to the Eastern Massachusetts breakdown. I think we're probably a bit more heavy manufacturing than they are out in Greater Boston, though.
Right. So any trends that you're seeing for the, you know, the coming year, year and a half, that you think your readers need to be aware of that you try to cover when you're beating down on your reporters?
Yes. So, sort of the foundation of all business journal coverage is real estate coverage, particularly commercial real estate. Not so much like, you know, ABC LLC is moving into 142 Shrewsbury Street. It's more, you know, by knowing what the real estate is, you kind of know who's coming and going. First of all, real estate sales, everything's going up, selling for a lot more than it was even 2-3 years ago. And you're seeing more companies expanding into the region. There's been a lot of buzz in the city about the Pawtucket Red Sox moving to Worcester in 2 years. We've done some studies and showing that the economic impact of the buzz hasn't quite been realized yet. But I think people are certainly excited.
I'm excited. I'm not even in that area exactly.
If you talk to people that have been in Worcester like 20 years or more, they will tell you that there's a lot more excitement around the city and its business community than there has been in the last
My wife,
years.
I told you, is from Worcester. She's brought up about the baseball team. You know?
Yeah, I think everyone's excited.
An excuse to go back.
As journalists, yeah. We're always a little bit skeptical because, you know, they're spending so much money on the stadium and everything and whatnot, so we certainly play that role of being the having the skeptical eye on everything the city does, particularly with that. But you know, like I said, I think everyone's kind of getting very excited about the team coming and sort of what that means for development in the area.
So you know, to sort of get towards the end, you know, I assume you weren't always an editor. So what's your background? Were you a writer first?
Yes, I was a reporter before I became an editor. I worked in Ohio and Florida covering local politics. And then moved to New England about 10 years ago and did a little bit of that for the Boston Globe out east, and then caught up with Hartford Business Journal, which is owned by the same company as Worcester Business Journal. And I was writing particularly a lot about energy in Connecticut for a while, and then started with WBJ about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
Do you ever miss being a writer, or do you still write?
Well, I'm a better editor than I was a writer.
So am I.
But, you know, I do miss it sometimes because you can really be sort of on the ground and you're the one informing the reader, you know, directly as to, you know, what's going on. I really liked writing about energy too, because it was a space not a lot of people understood before I started it, and not a lot of other journalists were covering it. So it sort of helped with my giant ego that I sort of knew a lot of things that not that many other people knew, but, I think, you know, kind of transitioning to editor, I feel I do better sort of managing the reporters than I actually was as a reporter.
I'm a big fan of editing. You know, we have a rule in my consulting firm, nothing really goes out unless there's been probably three eyes on it. And, you know, I was editing his work yesterday. He edited my book, my second edition. He took a look at it. So I don't believe anything. I think everything needs an objective eye.
Yeah, you know, just not even just checking for commas and misspellings, but you need that sort of that.
Well, I need that.
That extra thought leader. Well, everyone needs that, but everyone needs that extra thought, that second set of eyes and a second brain.
Well, you know, we appreciate you being on the show, and we hope we get to see you again. Since we're both living, traveling down a similar road with different mediums, we're always interested in the success of the Worcester Business Journal and how we can help at the Radio Entrepreneurs. But if someone's looking for the paper online or on paper, how would they find it?
So wbjournal.com is going to be your first stop. So my contact information is on there. You can always call me. But the best way to subscribe to both the print edition and the digitals through our website.
Great. Brad, thanks for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I look forward to having you again this year.
That sounds great.
Great. And remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs, the one and only. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and we will be right back with